Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Yeah.
Check.
Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can. Picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right on.
Everybody thinks we're at home. Oh, but who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Recovery Radio down here at the Red Caboose in beautiful Bolivar, West Virginia. Yes, thank you and good morning to all. This is Recovery Radio. We're going to be talking about recovery capital. And the song you were just listening to is, I think I'm going to adopt it as my theme song because it answers a lot of questions. Some people are just lost, at a loss for words, and the thing that they ask is, what's going on? Well, what's going on today is election day. This is election day. This is the time that you gather your recovery capital. What is recovery capital? I'm glad you asked that. So recovery capital for today is that you get up off your behind. And if you haven't registered to vote and you're over 18 years of age, shame on you. You have no recovery capital. But we're going to make sure you have some recovery capital in the future. Today's election day. You get out and vote. You go to your nearest polling place. Bring your ID with you. If you're having some difficulties finding out what your polling place is, just go online. Everybody has access to the internet, I would hope. I would think so. So you go on the internet and you pull up the information on your local government's website and you find out where your polling place is for your district. It's usually at a school, or you can go down to your nearest city hall. I'm sure they're probably having elections all over the city of Berkeley, Jefferson County, and throughout the country today. So it's a very important day. So recovery capital, and we're going to have hopefully a young man, Tony Russo, is going to be calling in today, and we're going to have an in-depth conversation about how the elections and the political process affects your life. If you're actively a substance use disorder, if you just come face to face through a loved one who is suffering with substance use disorder, you know, or if you just want some generalized information that you're a volunteer in the community and you want to know how to get out and help and have recovery capital. I like that song by Marvin Gaye because, you never say that what's going on by Marvin Gaye and use a question mark, but the song is right on. So some of the things that you need to know about in your political process today is what's going on. Who should I vote for? Where can I go to vote? Am I allowed to vote as a felon in West Virginia? And we're going to be talking this morning, hopefully, about some of the candidates and what they stand for, what their mission is, and what they bring to the table. And what do you bring to the table? What are you doing today? Are you just sitting back being apathetic? Or are you going to get up and go out and vote? Are you going to teach your children and so that they can teach their children how important it is to be socially and civically active in whatever community you find yourself residing? You know, we want to talk about things like housing. We want to go over some of the recovery capital in terms of law enforcement in Berkeley and Jefferson County. You know, I think that the community needs to gain some recovery capital because as it stands, in my opinion and from my observations and from all of the visiting and the intermingling that I do out in the community, I find that we are not recovery ready as of yet. So that means we don't have any recovery capital within our infrastructure. I talk a lot about the analogy of the healing forest. Not only do we need to heal those who are sick and suffering from substance use disorder, but we need to heal and address the sickness that is within our government, within our political process, within our communities, how the disenfranchised remain disenfranchised, and all the while voting for those who would keep us that way. So we have to wake up. What's going on? We need to know what is going on. So here on Recovery Radio this morning and in the future, we're going to be trying to inform you. The name of the production, the name of the radio station is Enlightened. Hint, hint. That's the key word. We want to enlighten you. We want to shine some light on the dark spots in your life so that you can begin to walk in whatever it is that you desire to do, you know, and in a lawful and moral manner, because it seems that there's a lot of absence of morality going on in the election process. So we will just take a candidate, no matter what his position is morally, and vote him into office because he supports our agenda. What happened to the good old handshake as it applied to truth? You know, is that recovery capital when you can't keep your word about things, or when you are able to inject yourself into a society and have no morals or no moral content, and to be able to lead the people somewhere, you know? And sometimes we have leaders that we elect in office that have no followers. And I say that a leader who has no followers is just a man out taking a walk. Are you going to elect someone who is just out taking a walk, or are you going to elect someone, put them in office, and so that they don't forget that they work for you? And so you get recovery capital today. I want to share with you a newspaper article that I read in the Martinsburg Journal this morning, and it has to do with the drug ordinance and the wording. You know, words count. Words mean a lot when you say things to, you know, across, especially when you have a voice and when you're in public office and when you have a voice. And it's an article about the they shut down another alleged drug house, and they talked about some of the contents that was found in the drug house. And one of the phrases that the police chief, Police Chief Maury Richards, of Martinsburg, West Virginia, and he said that so that they were arresting or shutting down these houses that are, I guess, a nuisance because of the drug activity, and so that decent families would be okay in that neighborhood, decent families. And I wanted to know, what is a decent family? Who defines what a decent family is? You know, what's going on in a certain neighborhood? So not only should there be, do decent families make up neighborhoods? You know, and where are these decent families? Where are they coming from? What is the definition of a decent family? If anybody has any idea and would like to comment on that, you know, you can just call into the station, and I'm going to give you that number. It's 304-885-0708. 304-885-0708. And call in and voice your opinion about that. Just tell me, because I'm baffled at some of the wording that is used. A decent family, you know, it sounds like some underlying undertones in that kind of a statement, because it means that you're able to decide what is a decent family. So you are able to decide who lives in a community. So, and I personally here on Recovery Radio, and if you can help me with this, you know, this project, I want to bring some of the dealers onto the show. I had an opportunity to witness some drug dealing going on. You know, I had an opportunity to kind of fellowship with some of those who are addicted to drugs last week, and they allowed me to come down into where they were shooting up and to observe and take some photographs and to even question them as to why they were doing it. And, you know, oddly enough, the place where they would go and shoot up is right in law enforcement's backyard. And so I don't understand what this decent family thing is about. So we need a decent police force. Not that all police forces are bad, but, you know, they need to be scrutinized just like the neighborhoods need to be scrutinized. And so the police ordinance to shut down the drug houses, as they are called, you know, I would venture to say that who are these landlords? I also would like to bring to the table, you know, get a community and find out who owns the buildings in this whole neighborhood. If it's 20 buildings, 30 buildings, find out who the landlords are. If you're going to hold them accountable, give them an opportunity to state their case and give us as decent families an opportunity to look at the people who are renting out these spaces, who own this property, and what can we do to help them maintain their property, so that the value won't go down, so that usually disenfranchised people who are put into these places, they're struggling to pay their rent, struggling to buy food, struggling to pay the gas and electric bills, because I guess they are indecent families, and so they turn to distribution of drugs, and they turn to the use of drugs. And so this is kind of a blanket opportunity for, I believe, law enforcement to just kind of arrest people just for the numbers. The optics are really good when you can show that you can show the good people of your community that you're weeding out the bad people. So what makes these people bad? Did they just wake up bad? Were they born bad? And some would say, like Don Blankenship, that if you're a person of color, yes, you are bad. So you're not a decent family person, according to Don Blankenship, if I'm reading him right. So, you know, you have to address these matters. And I don't mind here on Recovery Radio addressing anything, because my problem with some of the behavior during election season is that people will not always vote the best person for the job. people will more often than not in the past, we're trying to change this dynamic, they'll vote color, you know, black people included, Mexican people included, white people included, Orientals included. You have a tendency not to vote for the right person, but because we will not, you know, in a lot of cases, I find we'll not do the research. We won't come out and visit the candidates. So this is a day for you to get your recovery capital. You can call me here on Recovery Radio, and we can talk about these things. And so I encourage you to get out and vote. I encourage you to kind of listen to what's going on. What is the temperature in your neighborhood? Who's the best person for the job? This is your final opportunity for this voting season to get yourself down to the polls and make your selections, because what happens today will kind of set the course for you for the at least the next 12 to 24 months. And it's imperative that we get recovery capital for our kids. You know, the kids have gone through a lot. A lot of issues came up, you know, over the summer. I mean, over the winter. The school system is definitely, you know, there was a school shutdown, and you know, some of the teachers were striking. But all the harm was done to the kids. I find, I mean, a lot of harm was done to the teachers, and that's why they had to do what they did. And I applaud that. And so we have to keep it going. You know, do you have recovery capital today? Are you registered to vote? Will you be getting out and take somebody with you to the polls? Take somebody down with you and go out and vote. I want to read something and share something with you before our guests come on. His name is Tony. And Tony wrote this morning, he said that something is happening in West Virginia. First was the teacher strike. Hashtag 55 strong swept through the state like a tidal wave, and it continues to resonate across the country. And then came Paula Jean Swearingen. Paula Jean Swearingen, if you do not know, she's running for state senate, and she wants to in the primaries so that she can run against she can run against the Republican, and she's running against Blankenship. If she wins, Manchin. She's running against Manchin. Yeah, you have to get out and vote today. She's running against Manchin so that she can go up against the Republican in the elections. Is that right, John? Yeah. So here we go. So Paula Jean Swearing. So here's what Tony wrote. She is the mother of four from the heart of the coal fields. She has been a years-long advocate for clean water and clean air for her family and for her neighbors. Clean water and clean air. You know, and Blankenship, if you remember, he was the mine disaster where all those people died, and he went to prison, and he comes out. He kind of reminds me of what the arrogance of our president when he said that he could go out on the streets of New York, down on Broadway, is I think be more specific, and kill somebody, and he said that he would probably still win the election. So Blankenship, he comes out of jail, and for whatever happened, whatever his part was in this accident, and then he makes all these statements about you know, how he feels about people in general that don't support. He said he's Trumpier than Trump. That sounds like a tongue twister. He's Trumpier than Trump, you know. And so I remember when a young man, his name is Winchester Hopkins, he ran for city council in Berkeley County. And just before election time, there was a newspaper article that brought up his past convictions as a felon who went to federal prison for distribution of drugs, I would imagine. I think that's what it said in the paper. And correct me if I'm wrong. But here's a shout out to you, Winchester. And so when they shot you down and splattered your name all over the papers about the negativity that was in your life. They didn't point out any of the positive stuff that you have done since you got recovery capital, since you got out of jail. They didn't highlight any of that. They just kind of threw you on the bus with that. And of course, you lost the election at that time. But here we go with this Blankenship guy. So now we get back to Tony's letter. He says she has been years advocate for clean water. Paula Jean had the gall to tell the most polished elite politician in modern West Virginia history that West Virginia could have good jobs and a clean environment. So Mr. Joe Manchin is who she confronted about the clean water and the good jobs and clean environment. And so this is what the response was, according to Tony, after she made this statement. He said, when that apology, we will have to agree to disagree. We will have to agree to disagree. I'm having a call come in, but that's what he said to her. We will have to agree to disagree. And so Paula Jean said, okay, if that's what it takes to protect my kids, I will. So she has recovery capital. Her behavior is indicative of a recovery-ready community, a healing forest environment, if you will. So she said to this politician, if that's what it takes to protect my kids, I will. And with no money and no endorsements, Paula Jean crafted the most visionary platform. So I think my caller is calling in now. Hello, caller. How are you this morning? Would this be
Good
Mr.
morning.
Tony Russo? Hi.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Tony. So, Tony, before we get started, I want to go over what the topic is this morning, and it's called Recovery Capital. Recovery Capital, and what we're discussing this morning with that title is all of the politics that's going on, and what have you been doing, and what are your contributions, and who you support, and just the whole thing. Just give us an earful this morning. But first, tell us about yourself, Tony.
Well, thank you, James. Thanks for having me on here. It's really a pleasure and an honor. I just love the work you're doing. I love your spirit. I love what you're doing in the recovery community and just in the larger community of the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. So many people need to hear your message. And I want to congratulate you first and foremost on your recent appointment for the Eastern Panhandle Recovery Coaches Association.
That's it. You got it. That's a mouthful. Very well said, Tony. I can't get that out that quickly, but I thank you. I appreciate your perspective. So tell us who you are.
Well, I want to say about you first.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tony.
Pastor Unger made such a great, great choice in getting you to be this person to represent the region in terms of getting some recovery coaches out there. I'm going to sign up to become a recovery coach as soon as I'm finished with this election.
Well, good. That'll be a plus for us.
My name is Tony Russo. I come from Baltimore originally. I was born in Baltimore, and I was there for the better part of 30 years. And after Dr. King was assassinated 50 years ago in this past April, it had a deep, profound effect on me. And coming from a racially divided community, I saw my city go up in flames, and I knew there was a problem. I knew there was a disconnect. And so I sought to study about Dr. King and about his work. And from that, I started working with low-income people in Baltimore, especially West Baltimore, the community that I grew up in, and ended up working with the homeless for 25 years. And ran nonprofits and developed the first Housing First program in the country way back in 1986. and also wrote the first study of homelessness way back when. I think that was 1979. So I was involved in the homeless movement very, very deeply for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And then I just, I get tired of fundraising, James. You know, you always have to raise money. And I'm not one of those people that likes to put my hand out and say, can you please give to a good cause? And that just really wore me down. So I decided to do some consulting. And I did that for 12 years, management consulting. And one of my clients was the Mine Safety and Health Administration. They inspect coal mines and non-coal mines as well. And as part of my job, I had to go to mine disasters. And I was at Upper Big Branch, and I was at Sago, and I was involved in Crandall Canyon and so many others that people may remember from that period of time. I then retired 3 years ago, and I've been working with young people. I've been working with people who have a problem with addictions. Just, you know me, I'm an old social worker. I'm an old community organizer, and I just go wherever I feel like I can be of help and try to help people out with whatever issues they have. So that took me to this election. Mm-hmm. So having been involved at Sago, the one thing that Don Blankenship, Joe Manchin, and I have in common is that we were all at Upper Big Branch. I said Sago, mm-hmm. but I meant Upper Big Branch. We were all there when those 29 miners' bodies were carried out of that mine on that fateful day in 2008. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, my goodness, you know, something's wrong here. Something's wrong in this. Mm-hmm. State of West Virginia. It seems like we have the elite, that these coal barons, these moneyed interests, this big pharma, this big chemical, that seems to be running this state. Not seems to be, they are running this state like an exploited country that we read about. Mm-hmm. It's an extractive state. We extract materials, send them elsewhere, not to mention that we pollute the environment when we do that. And I thought, this guy's been in deep with mm-hmm. this crowd from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Isn't anyone gonna run against him? So I come up against this. I see this woman, Paula Jean Swearingen, gonna run against him. Mm-hmm. And I look at her, and I read up, and my own biases start to kick in. I said, "Oh my goodness, she has no political experience. She has no money. She's got a beat up 1996 Oldsmobile driving around the state." You know, she talks like she's from the southern coal fields and on, all those stereotypes that we put on people. And then I read her website.
Okay.
Said, oh, my goodness. This woman believes in livable wages. She believes that she buys into the fight for $15 an hour. She realizes people can't make it on chump change. Mm-hmm. $15 an hour is hard enough, but she wants to make that the minimum wage. She believes in Medicare for all. She thinks everyone deserves health care. Mm-hmm. She believes not clean air, clean water can come along with good jobs as well. And then on the drug issue, she said, this whole marijuana thing is ridiculous. We ought to legalize it as soon as possible, both medicinally and recreationally. And then she has a long, detailed issue about long-term recovery mm-hmm. and how we need to put money into long-term recovery options. So on and on and on, I went and I said, I've got to work for this person. So I put my name in the ring, and I started doing some basic volunteer work. Mm-hmm. Well, we hit it off big time, and make a long story short, she asked me to be her campaign manager. So I've been her campaign manager for a couple of months now, and her candidacy has just taken off like wildfire. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to election day. I'm out here as we speak, going around to the polling places in Martinsburg, and I'm going to go down to Jefferson County to try to push this thing over to the goal line, to the finish line, to defeat the elites mm-hmm. and to put this real person in office who's not beholden to anyone except people like James Boyd and Tony Russo.
And
she said, James, please come to the election watch party tonight. She wants you to come, and she wants you to speak. about recovery coaches, the need for recovery coaches. And if you want to say a word about her candidacy, she'd love that too. But you come out to the town run tonight, okay?
Yeah, I certainly will. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Aaron Hackett. He's running for Board of Education.
Yes. So Aaron, I met him about a year ago. And what a great, great young man this is. Here's a 21-year-old guy mm-hmm. who was really put off by what happened in 2016. And he heard the call to action where people mm-hmm. said, anyone can run. You know, Nina Turner says that. She says, yeah. get out there and run. Do what I did. And Aaron heard that message. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to do it. So he's 21 years old. Mm-hmm. He's just barely out of high school himself. He graduated 3 years ago from Jefferson. Mm-hmm. He knows the problems. He is the customer. He was a customer 3 short years ago. So he knows what students need more than anything else.
Right.
So he put his hat in the ring. And I go to these debates, James. Mm-hmm. He won those debates hands down. Here's a 21-year-old kid, never ran for anything. Mm-hmm. He comes in looking like a 21-year-old with the pants all cut up and the hair uncombed mm-hmm. and all that, you know, mm-hmm. and he walks in, and he nailed it. He won these debates head and shoulders.
Wow.
Above not only the new people, the non-incumbents, but against the incumbents. Mm-hmm. He knew more about the issues than the incumbents did. And he had a vision. And he connected with his audience, and he was confident. Mm-hmm. You don't see that in a lot of 21-year-olds.
That's right.
So this man's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about Athena Roper running for Board of Ed for Jefferson County. What do you?
Absolutely. So Athena, I have not known Athena very long, but I met her through this election cycle. And she and a number of other of these new people that are running, Aaron and Jim Watkins and Donna Joy and Tom Poteet, they're all the new people running. So I got to meet each of them. And I was so impressed with Athena at the debates where I saw her at the NAACP debates mm-hmm. in Charlestown. And I thought she clearly had an articulation of some of the issues, mm-hmm. a number of the issues. And she knew what she wanted to do mm-hmm. about solving some of these problems. And the other thing I want to say to your listeners is that, you know, I don't vote based on the color of a person's skin. That's not my litmus test or mm-hmm. anything like that. But I will say this: my daughters went through Jefferson High School. Mm-hmm. And Jefferson, the other schools, uh-huh. elementary and middle school. These young boys of color, as well as the girls of color, this mm-hmm. will come as no surprise to you and your listeners, they're treated differently. Mm-hmm. They get more in-school suspensions. They get more expulsions. They get tracked away from college. Mm-hmm. They always find themselves in the eye, you know, in the gaze of the administration. They're treated just like they are in the larger adult society. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, there's no one else running for the school board that understands that narrative, that was a part of that narrative, besides Athena. She's the only person of color running. Mm-hmm. So based on her articulation of the issues, her understanding of the school system, she mm-hmm. works in the school system. She ran the cultural diversity program for mm-hmm. a number of years yeah. until the local school board decided to eliminate that program. Mm-hmm. There's a progressive move for you. So I said, I've got to put Athena on my list. Mm-hmm. So Athena's on my list. And I highly recommend her. I think she will be a great asset. But before we go any further, I want to say we need to understand that there are some severe, severe problems in our school system.
Yes, yes.
And they are getting worse. Jefferson mm-hmm. High School, where my daughters went, they've virtually eliminated the advanced placement program. The students tell us in forums that what happened at Parkland could happen very mm-hmm. easily at their school. Yeah. The good teachers are taken off, as they have for a number of years, to go to go to, I don't want to say the good teachers, I want to say the ones that have been there for a long time, mm-hmm. and who do such an incredible job, these great, great teachers. They've gone off to Loudoun mm-hmm. County or Maryland or whatever mm-hmm. because the salary's better, the working conditions yeah. are better. So with all of this, our schools are in severe need of mm-hmm. some help. And the sitting school board has to own some of the responsibility for what mm-hmm. is going on in schools today. And that's why I'm calling for a change, mm-hmm. that we need to move on beyond what's there and try to get some fresh blood. So Arthena's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third person I'm supporting is Jim Watkins. Can I go on to him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jim, I've known Jim for 30 years. I've known him since we rode the train together, the MARC train down mm-hmm. to D.C. He was a speechwriter for Harley Staggers mm-hmm. in Washington. And what a bright, bright, bright mind. What a great speech writer he is. He has a long-term vision, and he has a short-term plan. And he lays it out very nicely for you. He also understands information technology. That mm-hmm. was his forte in the school system. He got Teacher of the Year 1 year for the whole Jefferson County school okay. system. This guy knows what he's doing. He has a very progressive outlook on the world mm-hmm. And on the school system itself, and he wants to move it to a different level. Mm-hmm. So Jim Watkins is my third. You get three choices,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I am going with Aaron Hackett,
okay,
Arthena Roper, and Jim Watkins.
Aaron Hackett, Arthena Roper, and Jim Watkins. That's a good lineup. That's a real good lineup.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's a winning lineup.
Yeah. And so, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all right. So those are my three for Board mm-hmm. of Ed. Do you want to go on to others?
Yeah, go on to others. Just give me one more.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was kind of torn between this Tally Sergeant and Aaron Scheinberg.
Mm-hmm.
They're running in the, you know, the second district. And Aaron is just one of the most likable people that you will ever meet. I got to meet his mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They were at every event. Just a great, great, great family. And he fought in Iraq, and he comes with that perspective. And he lives up in Hedgesville. And just a likable person. Mm-hmm. And I just really think that he will do a fine job should he get in.
Right.
My concern with Aaron is that he didn't want to publicly say what his positions were, which we get this a lot from mm-hmm. politicians, you know. I don't mm-hmm. want to say because then they can use that against me.
Then they
well,
can
say
use
what
that
you
against
want.
Me.
Say
yeah.
what you mean.
That's why he's on Recovery Radio. You know, we just kind of shoot from the hip, and I appreciate citizens such as yourself, Tony, coming in, and I know you touch a lot of lives because you got a lot of movement. In some of the things that you do for the community. So you have an opportunity to come in, to get in touch with a lot of people, a lot of different people. Tell me how you feel about the progress or the regress in the area of substance use disorder. How do you feel about how...
Let me finish the second district.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
There are two people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could do that, let me just also say the other person running is Tally Sargent.
Right.
Now, Tally Sargent is slightly more substantive, if you will, mm-hmm. than Aaron. She says, I want health care for everyone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a little bit of a slippery slope when you put it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd like people to have higher wages, but she won't commit to $15 an hour. So mm-hmm. she throws out a few bromides to get people interested,
mm-hmm.
but she too is unwilling to commit. Now, what I have a lot of hard time with Tally, and I told her directly, Tally worked for 3 years for the Coca-Cola company.
Mm-hmm.
Her job, she was in charge of the Global Balance Energy Network. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
So her job was to fund bogus research into exercise and weight loss. And what do you know? They came up with something that said, it doesn't matter what you eat or drink. It only matters that you exercise in order to lose weight. We all know that's a lie. That's a lie, lie, lie. So Coca-Cola and all those other sugary drinks are the one of the main culprits of West Virginia's obesity and type 2 diabetes problems. Mm-hmm. We are number one in the country on both of those issues. And I said to her, how could you work for a company that's putting poison into our children? How could you do that? I said, now, I could see taking the job. It's good money. It's high profile. Looks good on a resume. But now that you've had time to reflect, it's time that you pivot and say, I did work for the man, mm-hmm. and I regret it because I realize that they're putting poison in our children. We have little kids with diabetes. I said, it's time for you to pivot. But instead, she calls this her Coca-Cola family. Uh-huh. And she gets a lot of contributions from Coca-Cola. And I said to myself, there's no way I can support her. Mm-hmm. Even if she throws out a few little bromides to try to tease me with her, you know, her liberality.
What's a bromide? And like, what's a bromide?
Oh, the bromides would be, I care. Oh, this is her number one issue is I care about West Virginia's health.
Okay.
What? You're worried about the health and you've been poisoning people for 3 years? It does not fly, James. It does not fly. It doesn't make sense. So I did not endorse either one of them mm-hmm. because I wanted them to take substantive stances. And I wanted Tally to pivot away from what she was, you know, what she, her former mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. So I didn't endorse either one. I did vote for Aaron in the end.
Okay.
And I think that was the right choice. Okay. And I'm going to push him on the issues. Mm-hmm. But
so,
I'd rather vote for someone that I may disagree with a little bit, mm-hmm. but who I feel like I can trust, and he's not working for the system, for the mm-hmm. elites. Mm-hmm.
So who's running against Athena?
Well, let's see. It's a little confusing, and I don't want to say that I have I know all the answers of who's running against whom. The school board has three openings. Mm-hmm. And you've got Aaron Hackett is running against Kathy Skinner, I believe, from the Skinner family, you know, uh-huh. Skinner Law Firm, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got Lori Ogden, and I'm trying to think who she's running against. I think she may be running against Athena. I may have that wrong. Mm-hmm. And then Jim Watkins would be running against Scott Sudduth, Sudduth. Mm-hmm. And then you have other candidates in there, but I'm going to get in trouble if I try to explain and try to remember who's paired up.
Yeah. I'm going to do a rundown on the list of people who, from each Jefferson and Berkeley County, because someone had called me this morning wanting to know who to vote for. And I'm saying to myself, wow, what an honor to bestow upon me. You know, just wanted to know who they should vote for. And I said, well, I don't know if I should do that.
They know your heart, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's kind of a dangerous thing. I think that's kind of a dangerous thing. In a way, but what I'm going to do is, you know, make sure that I can send out over the internet all of the selections in Berkeley and Jefferson County and have people make their own selections. However, you know, the people that I endorse, I've made it clear, and so I think that that's a good point that you make when the candidates for election will not state their position emphatically, what their position is on issues. And I think that Paula Jean and right. Kimberly Crockett, you know, and Athena, she's in Jefferson County. I can't vote for her, but I met her and I really like her spirit. And I talked to Joy. She's running for school
Donna
board.
Joy.
Yeah, Donna. I spoke with her.
Donna Joy.
If I were voting in Jefferson County, you know, I would be inclined to listen to her message, which I did, and I would vote for her.
Yep.
And so, you know, these are the kinds of things. And I know it's election day, but we still have to get the kind of information that you're giving on air this morning out to the public. Even after election, right. They need to hear from us because there's going to be another election coming up, God's willing.
Oh, yeah.
and, you know, if the rapture don't happen before the election come around again, you know. But at any rate,
right.
Community cultivating, community activity, social connections, these are the kinds of recovery capital that we need to, you know, stay laser focused on. And I appreciate you, Tony, coming in and talking to us. Even though we're not done yet, I hope you can stick around for a couple of minutes. I'm going to see if I can.
Oh, my goodness, I'm here as long. You know me, I can talk until the cows come home. So I'm here as long as you can tolerate me.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get the engineer to pull up a song, Working in a Coal Mine, while we take a little break off air. And while he's doing that, Tony, so tell me what your day's like today as a community activist. So what are you going to do to get some recovery capital today? Give it to us again.
Well, I'm working the polls right now. I just got back literally 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. this morning. I just got back from a 6-day road trip,
mm-hmm.
starting in Harper's Ferry, which you participated in.
Mm-hmm.
And we called it, as you know, the Redneck Revolution Tour.
Redneck Revolution
now,
Tour.
Most of your listeners probably don't know about that term, redneck.
Yeah, and just hold it. We're gonna run this song, and I think that would be a perfect segue for you to explain to everybody. And I was opened up to new possibilities when I found this out. But we'll be right back. On the other side of this song, we're going to talk about that. Okay, Tony? Can you hang there? And
yes,
listen to this
sure
song. Are we ready, Don, John? All right. Here we go.
Working in a coal mine, going down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step down.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
You better work it in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, oops, about to slip down.
Cause I make a little money, hauling coal by the ton. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for having, I'm just working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, oops, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down. In a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Lord, I'm so tired.
Hey, you there, Tony?
Yes, I am.
So what do you think? What do you think?
I haven't heard that song in a little bit, but I'm old enough to remember, I believe, when that song first came out. I was born in 1953, and we had songs like that. And we had songs like Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 Tons, What Do You Get, Another Day Older and Deeper in Debt. St. Peter, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
No, you got it wrong. No, you got it wrong. I owe my soul to the company store.
Okay, I got you.
No, that's the difference between, wait a minute. That's the difference between chitlins and chitterlings. So, okay. So here we go. I figured you'd like that one, huh?
My daughters are more evolved than me, so they would say, "Dad, you are using your white privilege to pronounce that as someone who is not white would pronounce."
Right.
Don't do that, Dad.
Don't do that.
Now you got me confused. We got to figure that all out.
That was great. I figured you liked that song. So we were talking about, yeah. So can you pick up kind of where we, before we went to commercial break?
Sure. So we were talking about a term that most people, mm-hmm. it sends chills
redneck
up their spine, mm-hmm. and it's the word redneck.
Right.
So when a lot of people think of redneck, what do you think, James?
Well, I think of a racist white person that, you know, that chews tobacco and work in the cornfields and live up in the mountains drinking moonshine and So that's what I think about when I think about a redneck. But I was clueless until last week.
And you know, they got a few teeth missing. They don't speak the King's English. They got the pot belly hanging over. They're walking around barefoot all the time. Yeah. And all that. Yeah, so that's the image that we get of the word redneck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the woman that I'm supporting to be the next U.S. senator and to defeat Joe Manchin is Paula Jean Swearingen. And here I am, her campaign manager. And about a week and a half ago, we had a little conversation, and she said, I just had an epiphany.
Yes.
She said, I am a proud redneck. I'm a proud daughter of a coal miner.
Uh-huh.
I'm a coal miner's daughter. She said, but people up here don't know where the term redneck comes from.
Uh-huh.
She said, it didn't mean someone who was racist, bigoted, all those other things that we talked about. She said, the term redneck came from the red bandanas that the people in the coal mines wore, just like that song was talking about, who wanted nothing more than to join a union. They were living and working in unsafe conditions, grossly underpaid, working too many hours, and they wanted to form a union. And they said, are you with us or are you against us?
And that sounds familiar. That sounds familiar.
Yes. Proudly wear your red bandana.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the term rednecks. And they started, that became the beginning of the United Mine Workers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can run parallels to where we started that whole trip. As you know, we started it at Storer College.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right
down W.E.B. Du Bois came, and he couldn't even meet, as you told me, on U.S. soil for the first meeting. They met up in Canada, but the second meeting was at Harper's Ferry.
Uh-huh.
And he said, are you with us or are you against us? And out of that grew the Niagara Movement, which later evolved into the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That's how that all started.
Yeah.
So there are parallels between the southern part of the state and the eastern panhandle. So we thought that was very symbolic. We went, she said, I'm going to go on a redneck revolution tour. Who's with me? And we're going to reclaim the name. Okay? Yeah. So we did. We wore our purple shirts for Paula.
Yes.
And we wore our red bandanas. In fact, I still got mine on, my purple shirt, my red bandana.
Mm-hmm.
And we went.
Is that, that's not the same one you had last? Did you wash that? Did you make it past the laundromat, Tony, with your red bandana and your purple shirt?
You know, you get a little personal there, but I didn't go to the laundromat as often as I should have, but I did make it there once or twice. But I was gone a week.
Okay.
So
you've been on the trail.
You
have definitely been on the trail. Yeah,
here.
I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So you guys doing some good work,
tonight.
Man.
I will have a laundered shirt by tonight, mm-hmm. I guarantee.
Yeah, you guys doing some.
We went to all these communities. We went to Harper's Ferry, went to
yes.
Shepherdstown,
mm-hmm.
went to Martinsburg. Then we went across and we met with the striking union workers at a place called Technocap.
Mm-hmm.
And this is out in Wheeling. And what they told us was this whole right to work thing
mm-hmm.
is really a right to work for next to nothing. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
And a right to work in an unsafe factory.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we got people working in this factory. They're losing fingers. They're losing hands. They no seniority. They're going to cut out the seniority. Nothing. And they said, they have destroyed our unions. Well, who's one of the people that did that? Well, it was Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Don Blankenship and Jimmy Justice. They're all in this together. This is the elites against the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
As Bernie likes to put it, it's the 1% against the 99%.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a 99%er, and I think you are too, James.
Yeah.
And that's who I side with.
Would you think that the people in this area are sleeping? We're just going to lay down and take it? Or you think we're going to get out and vote? What is your hopes?
Oh, I want to tell you, I think people are already getting out to vote. We have seen, so usually in an in a non-presidential year,
mm-hmm.
and in the primary of a non-presidential year, the numbers are pretty low. We are seeing a large increase at the polls in terms of compared to previous outlying years. And we're seeing younger people. We're seeing these millennials come up. We're seeing more and more people of color coming up to vote because they finally got something to vote for.
Yeah.
You know, they got Arthena and they've got Kim Crockett. And aligned with people of color, they got somebody like Paula Jean who gets it. You've met her several times.
She's just
you know
a lot of fun.
The real deal. You should have seen her at Destiny Baptist Church. She had never been to a black Baptist church. I grew up in Baltimore, so I'm all over that, right?
Right.
So we go to Destiny up in Martinsburg.
And I was there.
And Reverend Norris. Yeah, that's right, you were. And Reverend Norris, I've been there twice now. I told him I was coming back. I'm going to keep coming back.
Yes,
great congregation.
Yes, yes,
yes. So Reverend Norris, he's up there. You saw it. But for your listeners, he's handing her the microphone. He goes, come on, Paula, not Paula Dean, Paula Jean, come on up. And he was just, it was great.
Yeah.
It was a rocking time.
Mm-hmm.
And her white Southern Baptist church was a little bit different. And she wasn't quite, she said, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Aaron Hackett said, my church is just an old man reading from an old book. And then he says, okay, everybody leave, go in peace. I've never been to a church where they're singing and clapping and drums and organ going. So it was a new experience for them, but they left and they were part of the family.
Well, that's good. That is so great. So where can we expect to see you for the rest of the remainder of the day and on into the night after the polls have closed? And so where will you be landing your helicopter tonight, Tony Russo?
Well, I will tell you that. And then I want to go back to one thing I forgot to say. I will be landing my helicopter. I'm going to be going around to some polling places today. Make sure there are no shenanigans going on because we know about shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
We know about the voice of the people being repressed.
Mm-hmm.
We see it with voter registration. We see it with where's your ID, where's this, where's that, blah, blah. We're not on the rolls, especially if your skin's a little darker than mine. So we're going to make sure none of that stuff goes on. And then I'm going to come back, get a little rest for a couple of hours, and I'm going to go to the Town Run Tap House in Shepherdstown, West Virginia.
Yes,
and we're going to have a watch party there.
There we go.
A watch
there
party and a celebration.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there this evening, my man. It's been a really good show, so we're going to have to wrap it up here in about 5 minutes.
Right.
And so I should be talking to you at least by lunchtime, right, Tony?
You
lock the phone number and the information about Recovery Radio in your phone so you can put us on speed dial. And remember, we're here every Tuesday on Recovery Radio from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Okay, and put that in and spread the message around, and I will see you on the trail.
I cannot wait to see you this evening, my brother. Thank you for all that you do for this community. What a tremendous asset and a tremendous mentor you are to me. Thank you.
Well, I say to God be the glory. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Take care.
See ya. You've been listening to podcasts of Recovery Radio, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful exchange of ideas and information from Mr. Tony Russo this morning. And so and that wraps up the show for this week. And we hope to see you back here again. And we're going to end with Marvin Gaye once again. And you can go out and vote and have yourself a really wonderful day and get your family and friends and just get out and vote. And it's a beautiful, sunny day. Nice day to vote in. Heal the forest. I'm out. See ya.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've find a way to bring some loving here.
pick sides. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it flat and pick it sound. Punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.
Right on.
Hot John Henry was a little baby sitting on his papa's knee, and he picked up a hammer and a little piece of steel, cried, "A hammer's gonna be the death of me, Lord, Lord, hammer's gonna be the death of me," cried, "A hammer's gonna be the death of me, hammer's gonna be the death of me." Now the captain, he said to John Henry, "I'm gonna bring that steam drill around. I'm gonna bring that steam drill out on the job. I'm gonna whop that steel on down, down, down. Whop that steel on down. I'm gonna whop that steel on. Gonna whop that steel on." John Henry told his captain, "Lord, a man ain't nothing but a man. But before I'd let your steam drill beat me down, I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my hand. I would die with a hammer in my. I would die with a hammer in my hand." Said to his shaker, "Shaker, why don't you sing? 'Cause I'm swinging 30 pounds from my hips on down. Just listen to that cold steel ring. Just listen to that cold steel. Just listen to that cold steel. Just listen to that cold steel ring." Now the captain, he said to John Henry, "I believe that mountain's caving in." John Henry said right back to the captain, "Ain't nothing but my hammer-sucking wind. Ain't nothing but my hammer-sucking wind. Ain't nothing but my hammer-sucking wind. Ain't nothing but my hammer-sucking wind." The steam drill, he thought he was mighty fine. But John Henry drove 15 feet and the steam drill only made 9. Lord, Lord, steam drill only made 9. I said the steam drill only made. Said the steam drill only made. John Henry hammered in the mountains. His hammer was striking fire. But he worked so hard, he broke his poor heart, and he laid down his hammer and he died. He laid down his hammer and he died.